Hey, greetings everybody, it's Brother Tupos, StonePerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're doing well. Hey, my street preach got rained out this morning. Wow, did we have a storm this morning. Tornadoes all over in counties and states next to us, and pretty nasty, but it cleared out. It turned out to be a nice day, so we got to work online, planning for maybe something for tomorrow. Want to bring you a teaching today, and the title of my teaching is, People Are Destroyed by Lack of Knowledge. People destroyed by lack of knowledge. This verse is often quoted, and we need to talk about it so we can rightly understand it. We'll take a look at it. The verse is important because there's countries like the one I live in, America, and there's people who claim his name, but they live in sin, false ways, and lies, and error. They're in a great danger of the wrath to come, just like Israel of old. We're going to learn about that. But then, so is anyone, not just Israel, so is anyone who rejects the knowledge they know or rejects the knowledge they need to know. Remember that. That's very important. So the heart of this whole thing is a heart issue. The heart of this is it's a heart issue. It really comes down to that. I'm going to read this verse to you. But before I read it, the verse is talking about a lack of knowledge. But even more than that, we're going to explore what knowledge we should have and what we shouldn't have. So God allowed us to have some knowledge and then told us not to have other knowledge, or didn't allow us to have that knowledge. And it comes down to a matter of the heart, obeying or rebellion or not wanting to know. I'm going to explain that as we go if that doesn't make any sense right now. So it's involving knowledge, and it has to do with an issue of the heart. So let's read it. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. All right, so first thing I want to say right there, I was preaching and witnessing to someone in the street the other day, reminding him that God is not unconditional. God always has conditions for his faith, for his covenants, for his people. Did you see the conditions there? You forsake God's law, he says, I'll reject you. Yeah, God is conditional. So that's the first thing I want to say. The next thing I want to say is the context of, by the way, that conditional is all over the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, everywhere. God always has conditions for salvation for his people. The condition today is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yeah, consider that. So the context of this particular verse, though, is Israel, we always want to study in context, willfully sinning against God without regard for his law and his ways. They had a rebellious heart against him. Remember I told you it was a heart issue? If we read the verses around it, it's going to help us. Ready? Let's read Hosea 4, 1 and 2, and then I'm going to read 7 and 9. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth. It's about truth here, isn't it? Yep. Truth matters, doesn't it? Amen. Nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land, by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out, and blood toucheth blood. Now verse 7 through 9. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. They eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And there shall be a like people, like priest, and I will punish them for their ways, and reward them for their doing. So once again, you see faith and works at work here. Yeah, you see a condition, and you see faith, and you see works playing out here. Again, it's a hardness of their hearts, willfully practicing sin. That's the problem God always had with Israel. Okay? Constant rebellion, stiff-neckedness, even though he revealed himself to them over and over and over. They're not doing God's ways, and they had the knowledge of him. That's really important. They had the knowledge of him. They had his ways, and they were not keeping his ways. They had the knowledge to do good unto God by keeping his law. They chose sin. Yep. That's called rebellion. Transgression against God's law is called sin. Ultimately, it's rebellion, starting with Satan falling with pride, all the way down to Eve and Adam falling. So let's look at these words here. So it says, my people are destroyed by their lack of knowledge. Destroyed, doma. Destroyed means dumb, silent, cut off, perish, to cease. Just what it means. To be destroyed means there's nothing left, right? And then this word knowledge, datha. It means discernment and understanding. So even though these are Hebrew words, we have English words that seem to capture it really well. Knowledge, discernment, and understanding. We talked about this in a teaching not long ago, that wisdom is the combination of experience and knowledge used together. Thought I'd just throw that in there. So this knowledge is very critical, very, very important. So what this means is it's to know and understand something versus to not know or to not care. To not care. We'll get to that point. So what's the great cost of being destroyed by a lack of knowledge? Well, or I should say, what's the great cost of being, of not having the knowledge? It's to go dumb, silent, and perish, to be destroyed. All right? This would be ultimately a judgment of God. Heaven or hell, life or death, truth or sin, right? Eternal life or weeping and gnashing of teeth. Always opposites. God's kingdom or Satan's kingdom. So that's the great cost. So often you'll hear me say that we need to have a saving faith and a knowledge of Christ to be saved. A saving faith with a knowledge of Christ. Or you could say a saving faith and saving knowledge of Christ. What this means is you know of Christ and you're acting on it. I always like to tell people too that the gospel is not just one-sided. There's the gospel of what Jesus did, his death, burial, and resurrection, his perfect work for us, the God-man living the perfect life, him resurrecting after shedding his blood to forgive our sins, and he defeats death for us. Then by repentance, we turn to him in faith, and we're born from above. The fruit of all this is holiness and obedience. That's what God's asking the Israelites for. He said, I always required obedience, not sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15. And then we have to endure. I'm working through James verse by verse, and James talking about endure trials and enduring through all types of things. So this matters, okay, that we need to have this saving faith in Christ and a saving knowledge that's in works and action. Faith and works. We're going to get into that in James chapter 2 when we get to the verse-by-verse study. Go check out my verse-by-verse studies at don'tperish.com. I think they'll be a blessing to you. So as mortal humans, it's good for us to have the knowledge that we need of some things, and there's other things we don't need to know, and it actually will destroy us. So again, it comes down to it's a matter of knowledge and it's a matter of the heart, all right? Now, all the way from the beginning, we see that God gave man some knowledge, but then he also withheld some knowledge. Are you aware of this? Let's look at the garden. God limited man's knowledge to protect him. God said, you can have this whole garden. Don't touch that tree. Don't want you to know that. Well, he was trying to protect Adam and Eve in this perfect place. Genesis 2:17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So God was protecting them, saying, don't go there. I don't want you to know that. I don't want you to have that. Satan comes in, deceives Eve. Adam fell for it. He was deceived as well, or sinned along with her. And they were put out from the garden. Now, God was merciful. He didn't destroy them. He could have. But he gave them a punishment. They betrayed his betrayed him, they rebelled against him, they sinned against him. So he put him outside of the garden. How about another time when man gathered to build the Tower of Babel? He limited man's knowledge. Why? He said, hey, he's getting together, there's nothing I can stop him from doing, or nothing he'll be able to stop from doing. God scattered mankind with many languages. Genesis 11:9. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Yeah, I was just talking to a two-hour talk when I street preached with a young archaeologist. He had a 23-year-old guy. I talked to him for 2 hours. It was awesome. He listened to the gospel. We talked about religions. We talked about all kinds of things. We talked about evolution. And I was sharing with him that linguistic studies say that the languages on earth sprang up all at once. And I said, that's because of the Tower of Babel. And he goes, wow, I never thought about that. So he got some interesting insight there from God's word. So God did not want them to have that knowledge. And in his mercy, he didn't destroy them all. He scattered them. All right. So we need to have understanding and knowledge. That's of God. And that leads to life. Then there's knowledge that is for man, evil and sin, and it leads to death. That's obedience versus rebellion in us. So we either have the knowledge and we obey, or we get knowledge that causes us to disobey God. That's what this whole verse is really about. The knowledge of sin and pride leads to what? Death and judgment. And when we say knowledge is to know, you know, there's a term in the Bible, like when people had sexual intercourse, it says he knew her. So that's to know of someone, okay? So that's like a physical sense. But then when we sin against God, we knew that that was wrong, or we disregarded it was wrong and we did it. Now, there is cases of ignorance. We're going to talk about that coming up right here. But we have a great hope. The Word of God helps us by the Spirit, by the Word, by the truth. And Jesus said the truth sets us free, John 8:32. So this is why we need the knowledge of the truth. It will set us free. Again, driving this home, this is a heart issue. It really comes down to difference between willful sinning with the knowledge and those who sinned in ignorance. It's one or the other. You either willfully sinned with the knowledge that you had, or you sinned or erred in ignorance. We're going to explain this. In the Old Testament law, we saw God making allowances regarding their knowledge or their ignorance. Let me explain it for you. Numbers 15, 27 through 41, but I'm going to stop in the middle. Here we go. And if any soul sin through ignorance, then he shall bring a she-goat of the first year for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly. When he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord to make an atonement for him, it shall be forgiven him. Ye shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourn among them. So look at that. Once again, God's mercy, he's allowing for a lack of knowledge. They did it in ignorance. They didn't know. Oh, I didn't know that was the law. And God allows them to make a sacrifice with an animal. He doesn't just destroy them. Let's go on. Verse 30, but the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, that means on purpose, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord. Let me talk about that for a minute. You notice it's talking about if he's with you or a stranger. That's an archetype of the Gentiles. In the Old Testament, you could be any other nation, and if you would come and enter with the Jews and keep their ways, keep the Lord's ways, he'd let you enter in. He would. And so that was an archetype of us being grafted into Christ and grafted in with the Jews. Isn't that beautiful? All these archetypes in the Old Testament. So God talks about the stranger, that's someone that could have sojourned with the Jews as well. Verse 31, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment, that soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Uh-oh, you weren't supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. Verse 33, and they that found him gathered sticks, brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, I guess like prison, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said to Moses, this guy knew the law, he broke it willfully. Ready? And the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. And the Lord commended Moses, because Moses obeyed. Or excuse me, it says commanded. He commanded Moses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes on the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put on the fringe of the borders and a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a whoring. That's either physical whoring, sexuality, or that could be idolatry, spiritual idolatry. God hates spiritual idolatry as much as he hates physical fornication. So whoredom is often either or. You can be a whore physically, sexual reasons, or you could be a spiritual whore by going after false gods, is what I was trying to say. Verse 40, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, for which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. So look at this. God was merciful. Go back and reread that. He was merciful on those that had true ignorance, but he judged the willful sinner, the guy picking up sticks, and then he gives them tassels. That was for the Israelites. Why? Another archetype for you. The tassels help them remember the commandments of God. So every time they put their garments on, they could never say, oh, I didn't remember the commandments of God. God said, what are those tassels for? You're supposed to remember my commandments. See, they didn't have the Holy Spirit to help them. They were pretty much spiritually dead on the inside. But you know what's awesome? That's an archetype of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came in us, and Jesus said he will teach you all things and bring things into remembrance. John 14, John 16. So the Holy Spirit, we don't need tassels today. We need the Holy Spirit. The tassels were just a forerunner of the Holy Spirit. So God was merciful on the ignorant people, but he judged to death the willful rebellion. You see, it's a heart issue. The ignorant people didn't know. The guy picking up sticks did know. It's a heart issue. That's what I'm trying to drive home here. And it cost him his physical death and judgment, I'm sure, seemingly. He didn't go to be with the Father. Notice what it says in Hosea 4:6. Did you notice this when I read it? My people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge. People always read that, but they skip over this. Because thou hast rejected knowledge. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I keep saying it's a heart issue. It was the lack of knowledge and rejecting God and their intent against him. Transgression, sin, that destroyed them. So you had people that had the knowledge of God, but they rejected the knowledge of God. They weren't ignorant. They willfully rejected the knowledge of God. Go read that again. So you can be lacking knowledge that you need to know in this life. It's a bad thing, okay? So you can lack some knowledge and it's just a bad thing, right? Let me give you some examples. You get a speeding ticket if you don't know the speeding laws. You make a bad investment with your money, you lose some money. You pick some bad friends or bad partner in marriage maybe, and you end up with stressed and bad relationships. But choosing the knowledge that you have of God, or not wanting to know God's ways, I should say choosing to go against the knowledge of God's ways, or not wanting to know God's ways, this is a death knell spiritually. There will be no mercy for that to the Creator who's righteous, holy, and just. God just told us he's holy. He wants his people to obey. Jesus talked a little bit about this in Luke 11:52. He talked about knowledge. Talking to the lawyers, these would be the lawmen around the Pharisees. Woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye have entered not in yourselves, and them that were entered in ye hindered. So these men made all kinds of rules, twisted things, probably hid the word of God. They did all kinds of things, like the Roman Catholic Church did for 1,000 years, kept the scriptures hidden from people. It's called the Dark Ages. So that's what these lawyers were doing, and Jesus warned them. False religious men, like the Roman Catholics, modern pastors, cults, ministries, Christianity in general, does it today. They deceive people. They'll hold back the full knowledge from people, the full truth. You know, they won't teach things like holiness, come out of the culture, dress different, cover your head, throw your TV away, don't practice pagan holidays, get rid of feminism. Oh, they won't teach that. They'll keep that knowledge down to keep their pews filled And it keeps people blind and dumb. But you know what? Yeah, people have the word of God today. They're not going to have an excuse. If you follow a man and you listen to everything he says and you don't test it to the word of God, you will be guilty before God. No doubt about that. You won't be able to claim ignorance. Not in America, not in these countries where we have Bibles. Now, you go to some country that's never heard of Christ, has no Bible, and they've never willfully turned away from God. I'm going to let God deal with them. That's way beyond my pay grade. But the people that know of the word of God, know of Christ, know of the gospel, and they keep their false ways, oh, they're going to be guilty before this holy God. In the Old Testament, at times it meant death to go against God. Yeah, we read about that. Adultery, blasphemy, things like that. Prophets that prophesize wrongly or false. And then when we get to the New Testament, we have Christ who comes to what? Seek and save the lost and take away the sins of the world, right? Absolutely. Big difference from the Old Testament to the New. Now we have the Savior and the gospel that I just preached to you that calls us to him. But be careful. Be careful. There's a lot of false, easy believism going around. Even in the New Testament, after Christ is resurrected, men died. Like in Acts 5, husband and wife died over one lie. Yeah, they were guilty. They lacked the knowledge they needed, not lying to the Holy Spirit, and they willfully. I shouldn't say they lacked it. They rejected the knowledge that they needed. That's what they did. They rejected the knowledge they needed. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit, as Peter said. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, it tells us that men die because they're taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. Go read it. When it says they fall asleep, that means they die. I mean, people will tell you, oh, because Christ came to be our Lamb of God, now grace and mercy's flowing, we don't have to worry. Well, grace and mercy is flowing. People aren't dropping dead all over because of their sin. I get that. But you know what? Don't trample the blood of Christ. The call is repentance, to take this knowledge that you have of the gospel of Jesus Christ and put it to work and willfully work towards the kingdom, not to live in willful sin. We'll read about that in a minute here. And thus reject the word of God. Jesus came as a baby. He's coming as the fiery lion of Judah. I'll read a verse about that in the end of this teaching. His death and resurrection does not give you a free pass to sin on with the knowledge of him and the gospel. No, you can't reject that knowledge to live in your sin. You're going to be guilty before a holy God. Knowledge will, the lack of knowledge will destroy you, because if you know of Christ and you're not seeking the kingdom of God with all that you are in holiness and obedience, you're guilty before this holy God. Don't make that mistake. If you hear anything from this teaching, don't make that mistake. If you're listening to me, I can promise you, ready? If you're listening to me, because I don't think my website is getting into the darkest places of Africa that has no internet. Makes sense, doesn't it? If you're listening to me, you probably know all about the Word of God. You know the Bible. You probably have access to the Bible. You probably are a churchgoer or know of churchgoers or have been a churchgoer. You're in grave danger, just like I was before I turned and yield myself to the word of God and took the knowledge that I knew and applied it like a bandage when you're bleeding to death. It does you no good in your hand until you do what? Apply it to the wound where you're bleeding. Then you can stop the bleeding. Medicine given to you does no good until you take it and apply it to what it's going to do for you. The word of God is of no effect unless you apply it to your life, to your ways, according to what God has called us to live in the New Testament and some pretor laws as well. So let's get to this willful sinning act that's not going to go away, not going to just give you a pass because Jesus came into the world and died. Ready? Hebrews 10, 26 or 28. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Did you get that? That's really clear. You wonder, well, what does that mean? Verse 27, but a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. Sounds pretty clear to me. That ain't heaven. That's judgment, hell, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verse 28, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. We just read about the guy picking up sticks. Yeah, you keep on sinning willfully. That is taking the knowledge that you have of Christ and that he redeemed you. And by the Spirit, you can overcome and leave all your sin. I ask people all the time. They say, well, you can't stop sinning. And I look them in the eye and I say, what sin can't you stop? I've had yet, out of the hundreds of times I've asked people that, nobody gives me an answer. Because everybody knows, smoking, I can quit. Looking at porn, I can quit. Being greedy for money, I can quit that. They all know that by the power and the word of God, we can leave and forsake and overcome any sin. Jesus said he's overcome the world for us. So that's a fearful verse that we shouldn't ignore. We need to warn people, warn ourselves about that. God's going to judge the rebellious, willful sinner. And anyone who rejected his knowledge, and that is who he sent, Jesus Christ. So think about that. The Jews back then were rejecting the laws given to them by Moses. The people today are rejecting Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, sent by God to redeem the world. If they don't run to receive and obey him, they're rejecting him. And it's pretty sad that people think they're going to get a pass, and they're not. He's going to judge every soul that has this knowledge or has rejected that knowledge. And like I said, what God does with somebody that maybe never heard anything and never rejected anything, I'm going to leave that to God. He's God. I'm not. But you know, and I know, we exactly know, or we could know by seeking it. Yeah, we have a Bible. We have technology. We have the time. We have the resources. We have the wherewithal. Yeah. We're not ignorant of this mighty Savior and the cost to follow him, are we? No. No, no. Most all people listening to my voice are not ignorant of that fact. So this rebellion and rejection is the real key. Rebellion is a transgression of God's law, sin, and then the rejection of even wanting to know. What this comes down to is exactly what Hosea 4:6 is talking about. Knowledge, lack of knowledge leads to destruction. You either have the knowledge and you're disregarding it, or you don't have the knowledge and you've never wanted it when you could have had it. It leads to your destruction. Paul said this, showing the difference from the Old Testament to the New, Acts 17:30-31. And at the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth men everywhere to repent. He goes on to talk about how God's going to appoint a time of judgment, and because he raised Christ from the dead, there's hope and all of this. He also said this, 1 Timothy 1:12-15. This is a good news and hope for us right here. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Why? Here we go. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul didn't mean he was continuing on as in sin. He meant in his life, he was the chief of sinners. He was responsible for murdering people. And look at that. Christ saves him. Why? Paul did it in ignorance. Remember, we read in the Old Testament about those who did it in ignorance. It was a lack of knowledge. All right. It wasn't rejection of God's truth. Paul actually thought he was doing God's work and had zeal for it. And God judged him accordingly. This is very important. So that verse in Hosea is all about a lack or a desire of not wanting to have the saving knowledge. It all comes down to the state of the heart. Think about it. You either know the laws of God and you want to obey them, or you know of these laws of God somewhere, but I don't want to hear about them because I don't want to obey them. It's the same thing. It comes down to a heart issue. False churchianity says, oh, it's just a heart issue. And they say, they mean that by saying, I love Jesus in my heart. My mother used to say that all the time about sinful, wicked people. She'd say, you don't know what's in their heart. Well, we do. Jesus said, you know a tree by its fruit, right? But these churchianity people, their fruit never shows in their lives by holiness and obedience. This is a doctrine of demons, that you just love God in your heart. The Bible is void of that. Your love in your heart always comes out in your actions. You love your wife and children, you take care of them. You're faithful to them. Nobody believes that a man who beats and cheats on his wife loves her and cares about her. You see how ridiculous this is? You sin on against God and someone's supposed to believe you love him in your heart? Foolishness. Doctrines of demons. So as I start wrapping this up here, this teaching, knowledge or the lack of it doesn't always mean, like I said, you don't know. In this case in Hosea, it means you lack the knowledge and you rejected to obey it and you reject the one who gives the knowledge of eternal life. Yeah, think about that. You know, let me explain a little better this way. I get people in the streets that tell me that they don't want to hear. They put their hand up and go, I don't want to hear. I don't want to know the gospel. I don't want to know any of that stuff. And they tell me, if I don't know, God's not going to judge me because I don't know. I don't have to do nothing with it. Let me ask you a question. Have they not already made a decision about God? They're already hardened in their heart. They already love their sin. They don't want to hear about what they have to do. Yeah, they've already made the decision. So that was what I was meaning to say, was when Israelites knew the law and they rejected it, some people don't know the law and they still reject it. They know there's one out there. They know there's a Savior. They know there's a Word of God. They know there's a way. But they go, I don't want to hear it because maybe I'll get there and he'll just let me in because I was ignorant while I kept my sin and loved what I'm doing. They've already made their judgment, haven't they? Yeah, they already have. So the remedy to all of this, the good news, the gospel I preached to you early, to know Christ via the gospel, be born of him through repentance and faith, study his word as fruit, holiness, and obedience, strive on to obey it as you endure in the faith, come to that saving knowledge of him. That's what you need. That's absolutely what you need. That's what we all need. If you know the law and you break it on purpose, or if you don't care to know the law at all, a righteous judge is going to say you're guilty either way. Think about that. If you go and drive the traffic laws and you break them on purpose, the judge is going to say guilty. If you go and drive the traffic laws and go, I didn't even care to know what the laws are, I'm just doing my own thing, the judge is going to go guilty. But the only time you'll get some mercy is if they change the law that there's no way you could have known about, and the judge goes, okay, I see that. I'll give you some grace on that. And that's what God did in the Old Testament. And that's what he does today, many times, with many of us who know Christ, we're serving Christ, we're striving for Christ. Yeah, we still fall short at times. We may choose sin. We may make a mistake to go into sin. And God leads us. What is it? Romans 2 that says the goodness of God leads to repentance. I'll tell you this. Whenever I sin, I'm convicted by the Spirit, by the Word, and what the worst thing is I think about how good my Father is and how much he spared me all those years I didn't serve him. How can I sin on against this Father who loves me so much? I can't do it. I don't even like sin anymore. And I hate when it comes up in my life and I try to rip it out, pluck it out, cut it out the best way I can. And that's what I try to teach people to do in their own lives. So, don't let that be true of us saints. Don't be destroyed by lack of knowledge or by the type of person that says, I don't want to know anymore. You know, literally, I think people don't study the Bible because they don't want to be held accountable to the truth of God's word. I really believe that. They don't study the Bible because they don't want to be held accountable to God's word. Yeah, think about that. That's pretty shameful when you're considering serving a holy God. How is Jesus going to return? We're going to finish with this. He came as a baby in a manger. How is Jesus going to return? 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory And from the glory of his power. My phone jumped there. And from the glory of his power. Yeah. The best knowledge to have, saints, seekers, if you're listening, to know God, to obey God in all your heart, live holy for him every day, seek Christ in all your ways, seek the kingdom to the saving of your soul. I hope that edifies you. Don't be without knowledge. Don't be destroyed. Test yourself to the word of God. That's what Don't Perish is there to do. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till next time, got to get down that gospel road. May God be praised.